I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. This is a very special episode. We're trying something a little bit different for this little micro episode. It's going to be the October roundup. So what I want to do is provide as much value from the podcast as possible. And we're going to look at the best and worst pieces of marketing from this month. Some incredible work to go through, some absolute fails. Also going to look at some major social updates. I'm going to give you my thoughts on them and also help you in any meetings you might have about social media. I'm going to give you some fodder that you can take along with you and just help you look really smart in front of your boss. We're also going to talk about infamous LinkedIn stories that's launched this month and my predictions for this year's John Lewis Christmas ad. Going to jump straight in because this is going to be a short, sharp episode where you're going to get a load of value in a really quick amount of time. The best pieces of work that I've seen this month, I have to start with this one, which is the Aldi and BrewDog. Aldi released an almost identical version of Punk IPA and BrewDog joked that they would make a fake Aldi beer in response. Aldi then asked to list the fake Aldi beer and both brands agreed that for every case sold, they would plant one tree. BrewDog recently announced that they were the first carbon negative beer business, and I really take my hat off for them continuing to take steps to save the environment. And I've seen that they've just done an investment round as well that's all focused on the next round of investment they get is all focused on how they can be even better in their pack to be carbon negative. So what can brands learn from this? Well, what could have been a big hoo-ha and a clash between brands and a potential battle with no winners involved into a positive collaboration. And the narrative behind the whole marketing campaign, I think, is absolutely amazing. It's an incredible open conversation and a social media strategy that allows consumers to see it unfold before their eyes and a worthy reason to go out and buy because then you get to plant some trees and feel like you're doing better for the environment. There's already a lot of conversation on social media about it being out of stock in Aldi's across the country. So it's definitely worked for both brands there. So yeah, I think I did a post on LinkedIn all about comparison and the fear that it sometimes instills. But this is a great example of how comparison can actually, if you play it the right way, you can use it for force of good. My next campaign that I want to talk about is McDonald's social media. McDonald's has always had an amazing social strategy, but there's a recent tweet that went viral and it encouraged lots of other big brands to get involved in the conversation. The tweet read, if you've not seen it, it's always, when is the McRib coming back? And never, how are you doing? Person who runs the McDonald's account. Four guys replied, are you okay? Facebook app replied, honestly, same. No, I don't know when dark mode is coming out. Also, I'm fine, thanks. Xbox, if you ever feel bummed, we're always here. If you need to talk about anything, anything. IBM, we feel you. It's always, when will IBM make computers again? Never. How is it going, social media person? And Adobe replied saying, starting a social media manager support group. Let me know if you want to join. There's been a few examples of this that I've seen where brands have really joined together. And if you've listened to the Yorkshire Tea podcast, you'll get a sense of this, that being really smart with your copy on social media and using humour as a strategy adds that personal touch. Brands can really learn from that because having that human connection with a brand enables the psychological connection that we get when we're dealing with other humans, and it makes your brand feel a little bit closer to you, which means that you are more likely to invest in that brand. The next one that I want to talk about is Gymshark. Gymshark just do wonderful things on social, but this month what they have done is they've donated almost £9,000 to Daniel Bramble, a British long jump athlete dreaming of getting to Tokyo in 2021. He took to Twitter sharing that he'd been forced to get a job as a delivery driver after losing his funding and seeing local training facilities in London closed by the pandemic. He then went on to create a GoFundMe page and encourage people to support in whatever way they could so he could get to the next Olympics. Later, he received a surprise donation beyond his wildest dreams from Gymshark. They sent him a message to let him know that they were inspired by his story, ending the line, "You can quit delivering parcels and go back to delivering gold." He's now reached his goal of £12,000 and can go back to solely focusing on training. This, for me, is just, again, that human element. I think at the moment we're all living in a world where kindness is the best commodity that we can share as a brand or as a person. And Gymshark just having their finger on the pulse and really understanding social listening and using that to their advantage to help someone, but also elevate Gymshark's personality as a brand, has just been incredible. And I saw this go across not just Gymshark's feed, but also across the employees of Gymshark on their LinkedIn as well, which is just an amazing way of showing that they're living their values right down to employee level. So brands can really take from this how important it is to spend time doing social listening that can then tap into making a difference, like Gymshark did with the values of the brand. My final campaign that I want to talk about is the Amazon Borat launch, and that happened very, very recently. The Amazon PR campaign ahead of the launch of the new Borat film, which was going on Amazon Prime. It's been 14 years since Borat was introduced to the world, and he is back with a bang. And over the weekend, just gone, Borat hijacked landmarks across the UK, including a giant projection of him in his iconic mankini, but they've changed it to a maskini on Edinburgh Castle, the Angel of the North, a giant inflatable Borat floating down the Thames near Tower Bridge. Over in Sydney, a giant silver statue was erected with Borat impersonators dressed in face mask mankinis and performing a choreographed yoga performance. And in Washington, two boards have been set up to promote Borat's ideology of take mask, save lives. Naked Borat is handing out face masks and hand sanitizers to promote COVID-19 safety to anyone that passes by. They've also matched that up across other platforms as well, and really understanding their audience and where they are on social. They did a couple of live streams on Twitch with a number of famous people that went down really well. And we also helped them with a TikTok with Lewis Capaldi, where he was wearing the maskini. For me, this is just a really well-rounded campaign. It's taking one idea and making it work across a number of platforms, not just stopping at social and letting it go viral. There's so many opportunities here that they've picked up on to really grasp the way that Borat can make you feel, because he's quite an inflammatory character. And I think they've marketed it so well. And I'm hoping that from what I can see, the amount of people that have watched it over the weekend, it's been an absolute success. So from a PR perspective, just having that central theme, but taking over the world, has really played dividends really for Amazon. The last one that I do want to talk about this week is something that is obviously very close to all of our hearts, and it's Marcus Rashford campaigning for free school meals for underprivileged children on social media. It's not really marketing, but it's definitely something that I want to talk about. So Marcus has risen from sportsman to statesman with his campaign for free school meals to 1.4 million disadvantaged children in the UK. He compiled a list of businesses and restaurants offering free meals to children around the country on Twitter, started hashtag end child food poverty. Brands like McDonald's have got involved, offering 1 million free meals to children over half term, in partnership with the charity Fair Share. Is a great example of an influencer using their platform for incredible good, something that he has dealt with as a child, and using that and using his platform to be able to make a change for future generations. So it shows that people in these positions like sportsmen have the power to address wrongs and make positive change. He's even shared a tweet condemning the abuse MPs have been receiving from Twitter trolls, despite essentially being opposed to sides of the argument. So Marcus Rashford for Prime Minister in my book. They're the best campaigns. I know you've been waiting for the worst, so I'm going to start with those right now. The worst roundup of the month. If you haven't seen this, I think you must have been living in a isolation bubble, but Pure Gym did a right cock up. At the start of the month, the UK's favourite gym, Pure Gym, found itself in a PR crisis after a personal trainer posted an ill-judged 12 years of slave workout routine. If you've not seen the post, it was entitled 12 Years of Slave. This is our workout of the month designed by the PT to celebrate Black History Month. Slavery was hard and so is this. Hundreds of people took to social media to share that they were cancelling their memberships. GB medalist Dina Asher-Smith, a Pure Gym ambassador, also shared her disbelief that somebody thought that this was okay. But it does seem like it's all been forgotten now. Pure Gym were quick to jump on a statement to apologise for the post. They said the post was wholly unacceptable. It was not approved or endorsed by the company. And I think the thing here is that it's very obvious that Pure Gym aren't racist, but it's the mistake of one person who really didn't think before they put out a post. For me, it emphasises the importance of having a centralised control over social media posts, that something that's come from a local branch that then has blown up across the country with someone with no social media experience and obviously didn't think about the consequences of what they were posting. I think for this, as I say, brands do deserve a second chance. One employee sometimes can make a mistake and they need to really think about what goes out. But I think the way that they responded to it, they do need to think about how they manage their local brand ambassadors. Because the impact that can have across wider influencer work, people who don't want to be part of the company anymore, it can have really detrimental effects to a business. The next one that I want to talk about. So it's an ad that surfaced in mid-October, right after Chancellor Rishi Sunak had been accused of saying musicians and other people in the arts sector should retrain and find other jobs. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the Fatima Career in Cyber campaign, and it's an ad of a young girl lacing up her ballet shoes with the ad that reads, Fatima's next job could be in cyber. She just doesn't know it yet. Rethink, reskill, reboot. When I saw it, I just thought it was really ill-timed that someone's picked up on it, because it actually wasn't from a current campaign, so it was really poor timing. The important thing here is that everyone should check all assets before going out. Scheduling doesn't always work and you've got to stay reactive. I don't think people are overreacting to it, because I think Rishi's comments about people having to retrain in a place where the arts bring so much joy to people and help with people's mental health and is a form of expression and creativity. Not everyone is made for going into technology or the office world. Some people have got a real talent, and I think it's awful that we are pushing people and forcing their talent out. I think the fact that it went out and people picked up on it at a time just after that comment was made was very poor timing. But it's not a campaign that they've launched at the same time. It was just something that people can pick up on. I don't think people are overreacting, but I think the response is into what Rishi said, and I think there needs to be an address of that, because the arts is so important to our culture, and we, in trying to kill that, will kill part of the British culture. It's actually from a 2019 campaign that was aimed at adults and kids and not specifically aimed at people working in the arts. It's just that one that got picked up. I saw it across every single social platform that I've got, and people jumped on it because there's a lot of anger around at the moment and we're missing a lot of that normality. But I'm now going to go into a social roundup so you can go into any meeting that you've got about social media feeling fully informed and knowledgeable about the world of social, which is obviously an ever-changing landscape.
First thing I want to talk about is the new Facebook neighborhood feature. Facebook recently confirmed that it's testing a new feature that encourages users to post and share news in miniature social networks focused on small geographical areas. Users can create special profiles and share limited information with their neighbors, while Facebook itself will use the detailed location data it collects from those enrolled to serve more relevant ads. A focus on neighborhoods would reflect Facebook's slow move towards smaller niche communities. In recent years, the company has put more emphasis on private and public groups. In April, Facebook launched Tunes, a social network specifically for couples, and they've also announced they're working on Campus, a social network for students, which is going back to their roots, full circle, back to the original, the Facebook days. And they've also got Facebook Gaming, Portal, Workplace, and Dating, amongst many other things. They've already got groups. I'm not really sure what this will play, apart from being a form of being able to serve more localized ads. I'm not sure what role it'll play in my Facebook user experience. I'm a member of a couple of my local Facebook groups, and they're extremely useful just to understand what's going on, especially at the moment. And that feeling of community throughout 2020, I think our whole world has become smaller, and being able to understand what's going on and how to support your local neighbours and also local businesses using those groups has been really important. And we've seen a big shift into focusing on your immediate world rather than the wider world. And I think as Christmas comes in, I think there'll be a big push on that as well. Rather than using big conglomerates for Christmas presents, I think there will be a big rise in going shopping local to be able to buy your Christmas presents. But for this, for Facebook Neighborhood, I'm not really sure what problem it's solving. I think they're just trying too many things. I've seen that the dating is launching as well. They're obviously just trying to have the monopoly on the market. I'm not really sure how this will work and if it'll add anything to your experience. I won't be changing from the group that I'm in to another thing. It's just another button to press or another place to go. I'm not really sure it knows what its purpose is, apart from being a place where it can collect more local data to serve more relevant ads. It's not said actually when the feature would be released, and I've got a feeling that it's going to be very cluttered. But it's obviously taking on the Nextdoor. So I've signed up to Nextdoor, but I don't use it. I just get the emails, but I don't find that people who've signed up to Nextdoor, it's not as useful as the Facebook groups that I'm part of. So the next thing, Instagram shopping on IGTV with plans to branch out into Reels. This month, Instagram have announced the global expansion of Instagram's shopping service across IGTV. The product, which lets you watch a video and then check out with a few taps, offers creators and influencers a way to more directly monetize their user base on Instagram, also giving brands a way to sell merchandise to their followers. Instagram said it will soon be testing shopping within the newer feature and TikTok rival of Reels. In the future, Instagram says that shoppable IGTV video will be made discoverable on Instagram Shop. Lockdown has led to a 95% increase in social commerce. And by 2021, the global social commerce market will increase by about 34%. More than 15% of millennials want to buy directly through social media. You don't want it to take out of your experience. If you're going on social, you see something and you want to buy it straight away, you don't have to come out to go onto a website to then purchase. It disrupts your experience. So brands should really think about what they want to put on social commerce, which products that they want to push. For me, it's a really exciting opportunity because it enables us to prove the value of organic content right down to sales at an e-commerce level. If you're using influencers, it proves the value of influencers. And it's a question that has been the holy grail of social media for such a long time, is the value of organic content versus paid content that you can track right down to a purchase. With this, you can have your organic content, which then you've got a track of people that have gone directly through to buy. So for me, it's really important, one, that it doesn't impact on your social media usage. Plus, Facebook and Instagram don't want you to leave the platform. So as much as they can keep you in there, the better. So it's something that brands really need to think about for weaving into their strategy. For me, I think it'd be really interesting to test it on certain products, using social listening to really see what your audience are interested in, looking at new drops as a way to create hype around new products and new brands. As I say, influencers as well, it's going to be really useful for, because it allows influencers to really show the value rather than just an affiliate code, which is what we've had to use before. So for me, I would test it on a new product, create hype around it, make it the thing that you really want to buy, use influencers to drive that, and then work on your full journey within app, which is exciting. I'm leaving the best update to last. The social update that is causing a heated debate, and that is LinkedIn Stories that came out on the 20th of October. I was informed, thankfully, from LinkedIn of the launch date beforehand, because I am a LinkedIn top voice last year. So I was very lucky that the LinkedIn team did let me know that they were launching this as an opportunity before it happened. The pros of it, obviously, it's ephemeral content, which is the future. Stories we know will take over the newsfeed if they haven't already. And you can create a more personalised content and work it into your work life, which I think is a reflection of this year, where our work life and our home life have become a little bit more merged. It also offers valuable bite-sized pieces of digestible information. There's been a bit of a backlash on it. People think that they don't have a place on a professional platform due to their informality. To be honest, I disagree. Like any platform, it's all about creating content that's right for the channel. So it means adapting to the platform that you're on. So you have to adapt. Social platforms are changing every single day, so the agility is really essential. LinkedIn as a platform is changing anyway. We're seeing content that's slightly more personal do really well. Posting news updates doesn't have the same effectiveness that it used to when it comes to engagement. People want that raw, authentic insight. That's part of my personal brand, is being open and honest about things MDs and those in similar positions might usually avoid, and it's probably the reason why you're listening to this podcast. So for me, I think using LinkedIn Stories to bring a little bit of personality to the posts you're putting out there isn't a bad thing. There's no need to put on a front. People admire transparency because we are all human. It's not all pros, though. There are some cons. The interface isn't pretty and it's difficult to navigate because there's quite a few limited features, but they are in the early stages. We've had problems with quality and uploading content, and the viewers haven't been great. And I'm not sure if that's because people are put off by the idea of LinkedIn Stories, so they're not even checking them out. The thing for me, though, is that also I use LinkedIn on my desktop rather than on my phone. And it could be that that's a user experience that they need to think about, because I can't get the LinkedIn Stories on my desktop. A few tips from me about how to use it well. So experiment and see what works. It's the part of the fun of doing it, isn't it? And if no one's going to see it, doesn't matter. Like any major changes on a social platform, you've got to trial and test and inevitably fail. So you learn what works. And those are complaining about its presence are typically those who avoid this sort of creative behaviour anyway. So let your creative juices flow, show a bit of your personality and give it a go. Let me know how you get on, because I'm intrigued to see the growth of it as it develops. So primarily what I loved about LinkedIn is the ability to get across a message or a story. From experience, text-based posts are doing much better than they used to. A year ago, it used to be crucial to add an image to a post in order to get healthy engagement, but now copy alone does work so much better. If you can still have this sort of message across on stories, I think it'll do well. However, I am skeptical about the uptake in usage because of the preconceived opinion and also that change in user behaviour. We've seen people's opinions be quite negative already, but it'll be interesting to see how it moves forward, and I'm going to keep testing it. You're going to see me promoting the podcast across LinkedIn Stories, but I do wonder if it's the fault of not as many people being on the mobile app as they are on desktop. We are almost there with the roundup. We've got a little prediction. So how fast has this year gone? I can't believe I'm talking about this again. Doesn't feel like 2 minutes ago when Dodds and I were doing our Christmas roundup of the ads that came out last season. But there's been a leak. A TikTok user accidentally revealed this year's John Lewis Christmas advert location. One local from the town of Orpington in Kent has claimed that the highly anticipated advert was being filmed on her road. Fake snow, leafless tree, a snowman could all be seen in the video. Another local claimed he saw a boy and a girl attempting to get a football down that was stuck in a tree. Could that be part of the storyline for this year? The John Lewis Christmas ad is iconic, and it's part not only part of British advertising, but it's also part of our Christmas ritual that we go through. It's highly anticipated by so many each year, and it really signals start of the festive season. I think this year it's more important than ever that they bring something out. There's going to be a bit of lighthearted joy to all of our lives. I think people are going to be anticipating it more than ever. We've had Excitable Edgar, we've had Bear and the Hare, we've had Monty the Penguin, and we've had Man on the Moon. So we don't know what it is going to be. Jess Glynn is tip-top favourite to sing the ad. I do think that they're going to have to really think about the type of content that they put out this year just because of the current climate and people's overall sentiment around how they're feeling. I think that they need to either bring humour into it or talk a little bit more about caring in the community. Will it involve Zoom calls or being at home and isolating, loving from a distance? Who knows? But what I do know is I'll be waiting for it like everyone else. Will they spend as much on it this year as they have done in previous years in line with their business performance? Is it something that they feel like it's worth spending a lot of money on when retail has really struggled in actual retail space in 2020. So is it going to be as high production value as it has been before? And we've only got 8 weeks till Christmas, so it won't be long before all is revealed, but they are doing it a lot later this year. Things are usually done in the summer, but obviously with COVID, everything's been pushed back. So I'm glad that we got a little bit of a leak from someone as they spotted it. But it might not be John Lewis, it could be anyone. That wraps up my October roundup. I hope you found it useful. Please let us know your feedback on it because it is something that we're testing. And hopefully you've got some really good insights that you can take forward into your strategies for November and also any meetings that you may have on how you can help improve your social media. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in on Thursday where I've got a very special guest joining me, something that has helped me throughout lockdown. It's the founder of Borrow My Doggy, Ricky, who is talking all things dogs. And if you love dogs like I do, you don't want to miss the episode. So I'll see you on Thursday.